Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, today I want to think about miracles and healing. It's a challenging topic. I've been wrestling with it all week, especially as I've visited a couple people in my other job as chaplain who are really struggling with this. And so it's a challenging topic. And I want us to think about this and to see how God would speak to our hearts about this passage of Scripture and some others that we're going to look at. We have this challenge, reasons why we need healed. There's lots of reasons why we suffer physically in this world. Here's some that are very obvious. One is that we are born with disabilities. Maybe you know someone like this who has been born with some kind of disability, some kind of illness. Sometimes those illnesses are life-threatening. Even sometimes a person doesn't live through childhood because of a particular illness that they have been born with. Other times, a person may suffer their entire lives because of something that they were born with. It's no fault of their own. Could have been genetics, could have been what their mother ate or drank or didn't eat and didn't drink or whatever. There's no way to know sometimes why people are born with birth defects. Another reason why we need healing are accidents. Perhaps you know of someone who's been in a terrible accident of some type. Maybe they lost a limb, a finger. Maybe they've suffered back problems. Or perhaps they were, you know, an atomic scientist and they suffered an accident and now they're confined in a wheelchair and have the mentality of a child. You know, there's all kinds of accidents in this world, and sometimes they are really devastating to us, and they will cause irreparable harm to us. Another reason we need healing comes from the choices we make. And sometimes along the life that we live, we make bad choices. And because of those bad choices, we suffer physically from those bad choices. Whether it be a lifestyle choice or perhaps a bad habit that we've gotten into and it has affected us physically. Sometimes it might be an overuse of alcohol that has eaten away our liver and now we have liver disease. Or perhaps it's from a life of smoking and now we have lung cancer. Maybe it's chemical exposure at some kind of place and that's wreaked havoc in our body. All kinds of things. We could make a very long list of the kinds of choices we make that affect us physically. And then sometimes it's just from sickness and disease. We have to realize that our bodies are not everlasting. We grow old. We have problems. We have knee replacements. We have heart attacks. We even have things like cancer, we have strokes, we have diabetes. All kinds of things happen as we grow older. We all get sick. And I hate to tell you, but we're all going to get sick and die someday. And so it is part of life. Sometimes we get sick earlier in life than what we hope we would get sick. And so we often hear of people who are suffering significant illnesses early in life, in their 20s, 30s, 40s. I thought my mom would live to be in her 90s, and she got sick when she was 85. She had a good life, I praise God for that. But, you know, I was hoping she had many more years, but she didn't, and she got sick. And so that happens, and we know that, and you've experienced that, some of you in your own lives, perhaps with your spouse or someone in your family. We cannot know why certain things happen to us physically. Sometimes the problems go down to the cell level, even to the chromosome level, with some kinds of illnesses. And we cannot know the answers. Scientists try to figure those out, but we don't always know why one child may have Down syndrome and another might not. Sometimes we suffer because of the things we eat, don't eat, or our lack of exercise. We all grow old with the progression of years, and our bodies do not cooperate. They get sick and they fail. Death is an ever-present reality for us. In fact, we fight off death with just about everything we do. How many of you ate breakfast? Or wish you ate breakfast? Yeah. How many of you slept last night? Yeah, most of us did. We eat, we sleep, we rest, we take care of our bodies. Why? Because we're fighting off death. Death is always knocking at the door. If we didn't sleep, if we didn't eat, we wouldn't be here very long. We take medicines. We do all these things to fight off the encroaching death. Our time on earth is limited. This is the time when we must trust in God and choose to worship Him. In a way, it's kind of like we all live in the Garden of Eden. Not really, but and we are presented with these choices. Are we going to choose to obey God and to worship Him like Adam and Eve should have done? Or are we going to go our own way and suffer the consequences eternally for that? And so this is the time that we choose whether we're going to honor God, worship Him, put our trust in Him or not. Even those who are healed will eventually die. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus Himself, had to die again. What a prospect. I'd rather be raised once and not have to worry about death again, but he had to go through death twice. Poor man. This story is a story of healing. This man fits into the first scenario. He was born lame, no fault of his own. And when we go on into the story a little bit, into Acts chapter 4, verse 22, it tells us he was 40 years old. He had no control of his situation. He was an innocent victim of forces and of causes beyond his control. All he had known his whole life was being lame. We don't know exactly what it involved, but he had to be carried wherever he went. So it affected how he could walk around, leaped. Maybe his legs were deformed, or his ankles, his feet, whatever. You know, whatever it was, this man could not get around. He had to have people carry him. His only source of survival, as far as we can determine from this passage, is that he was begging for his food. He would have someone take him to that beautiful gate in the temple courts, and he would beg for his food or money so he could probably support himself. There was no social security system back then. There was no disability. If he didn't work, he starved to death. And so his work was to go out and beg. And he chose a good place to go, the beautiful gate. Let's go to the temple today. Let's take the beautiful gate. And so it was probably a pretty good spot, and people would go through that gate into the temple courts, and he would be there asking for alms, asking for any kind of money. I'm not sure if you've been around beggars very much, but when we were in the Philippines, just about every time we drove the car, there would be someone out on the street corner. Some of them, those people were very lame. And they would walk around with crutches, and it was obvious that they were blind. I'm not sure sometimes how they could tell where the cars were, but you know, when the car stopped, he must have heard it, he'd come up and knock on the window, and ask for a peso. Or sometimes there would be little children out there. Sometimes they were street kids, and they would ask for a peso or two or anything, maybe some food. Begging is a very desperate situation. It is possible even that this man, because he was in the temple courts probably for a good part of his life, he may have even heard Jesus preach. We don't know for sure, but Jesus taught many times in the temple courts. In Matthew 21, verse 14, it says that the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. Why didn't this man get healed? Maybe he couldn't get up and get to where Jesus was, and he was stuck. Maybe he tried to call out, and Jesus didn't hear him. And so he was in this desperate situation, a struggle to survive based on the generosity of whoever would walk by. And so here comes Peter and John on their way to the temple. They probably prayed every day at the temple. This was soon after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was just in them and inspiring them and leading them. And they were going to the temple courts to pray at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pretty hot time of day there, I bet. Peter and John were poor followers of Jesus. They had no money themselves. They had been following Jesus. They were trusting and relying on God for all that they needed. Their wealth was in heavenly things. They had a greater gift to give to that man than alms. They gave him the greatest gift that they could, and that was Jesus. The man's deepest need that day was for Jesus. So Peter said, "I don't have any money. I have no silver or gold, but I'll give you something even better." And so seeing the man there, they looked, said, "Look at me right in the eyes." And so the man looked at him and said, "What I give to you, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And the man did that. What a miracle that day. We believe in a miracle-working God. Isaiah 35 talks about miracles that God was going to do in the people of Israel. In chapter 35, verse 3, "Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." David in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, and who heals all your diseases." Many people wonder if God still performs miracles today. There are some things that we can be sure about today. One of those is that everyone is precious in the sight of God. You are a precious creation of God. Always remember that. God knit us together in our mother's womb. I was just reading some news stuff this past, well, maybe 2 weeks ago. And scientists have actually seen that when the human egg is actually fertilized, there's a flash of light. And they have documented this scientifically. Life is a flash of light. God does something in that moment. You are precious. God created you at that flash of light. And you are precious in his sight. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He designed you. He fashioned you. And you are important to him. God cares deeply for every person. No matter who we are, what we've done, what kind of challenges we face, what our bodies are like, you are precious to God. And he cares deeply for you. God places the obligation on others sometimes. Love those with difficulties. You may know of someone with a difficulty around you. God wants you to be his instruments of love to that person. In the Old Testament, it talked about widows and orphans. Today, we might make a longer list. We might talk about those with mental handicaps, physical handicaps. We might list in there the widows, the orphans, those who need to be in foster homes. We might talk about the neglected, the abused, the hungry, the poor. And God will work his love through us to touch those kind of people. We can be assured that God is loving and good and has our best in mind. Life is not always easy. I don't know if it's easy for anyone. It's not easy for me. And it's probably not easy for you if you're human. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This verse reminds me that we can entrust ourselves to God. Put ourselves in his hand. He is our Creator, and he will be there for us. I don't always have the answers why we suffer. I don't know why some people have certain diseases and some people don't. I can't answer that. And I think it creates problems for us when we try to ask those why questions. We can't answer those. And sometimes we can try to figure it out scientifically, and maybe there might be a reason, but other times we don't know why. But we do know that we can place ourselves into God's hands, and he will be there for us. Suffering is part of human life. Well, there's some lessons I want to think about today that may apply to your life in one way or the other. The first lesson is that healing is God's will for us in this life. God has a plan for each one of us, and that plan is to be remade into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. We were created to be in God's image. And that image is best exemplified and shown in Jesus, who became the incarnate God who walked among us, but also the one who lived without sin. He is the example of who God wants us to be in this life. All that we do, we need to head towards being like our Lord and Savior. We need to be like the one that we serve. He is our master. We modern people think of miracles as doing something in the natural order, changing something in the way things are in nature. But Jesus meant them to be a restoration of what God created in the first place. The Bible tells us that God did not originally make the world with disease and hunger and death. Those came as a result of sin and the fallenness that we read about in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus came to redeem us from what Adam and Eve have passed on to us and that we all experience. Paul the Apostle said, in Adam, we all die. We all follow in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, and we turn away from God. The greatest miracle that we can experience in this life is a changed heart. God wants us to experience this healing in our hearts. Whatever happens to us physically is secondary. It's not as important as what happens to us within our inner being, because who we are will determine all eternity, what happens within us. Who is our Lord and Savior? Have we given ourselves to Jesus? Have we opened up our hearts? He stands at the door and knocks. If we open the door, he comes in. That's the most important miracle of all. A second lesson is to trust in God, no matter the situation. All God wants for us is to grow in our faith and reliance upon him. He wants us to put our focus on him in our lives. Things should be done ultimately for God's glory. We need to trust in God no matter what, and to give him the glory no matter what our life is like or what happens to us physically. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, great crowds came to Jesus bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. We must pray and seek God. We obviously cannot do miracles on our own. Miracles are in God's category. Even those who work in the medical field know that you can do the same procedure on two people. One may heal and one may not. And there are many miracles in the medical field. God may use the medical people for miracles as well. But sometimes we get discouraged. The devil was having a yard sale, and all of his tools were marked at different prices. This was kind of a fiendish lot. There was the tool of hatred, jealousy, deceit, lying, and pride, all at very expensive prices, more expensive than some other tools. But over on the side of the yard was on display a tool that was obviously worn. It had been used a lot. It was also the most costly. The tool was labeled discouragement. When questioned, the devil said, "It's the most useful to me than any other tool. When I can't bring down my victims with any of the rest of these tools, I use discouragement because so few people realize that it belongs to me." We get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, but praise God. Find ways to glorify God in what you're going through. Fear can hold Christians back from praying for bold healing. We're afraid to ask. We're discouraged. We don't come to God to even pray and to trust in God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Even if your faith is small, start with your small faith and let God grow it step by step. A third lesson: seek God's spiritual healing and the blessing of physical healing. Although we don't know when or if God will bring a miracle in our lives, we must still seek his healing. Not to ask makes us no better than the atheist around us. We must ask God. We must come to God in faith, trusting and believing, even if that miracle doesn't come. When we ask God for a miracle, he may give us three responses: yes, no, or maybe later. And we have to trust God that what he is doing in our life is best for us and to his glory. The one to whom you are praying is greater than yourself. He knows all. He knows better than you know. And we have to put our lives into his hands. He is the miracle worker, not us. In our own understanding, we fall far short. We don't always know the reasons why. And so we put our lives into his hands. We think if we just pray harder, perhaps, or if we have the right formula, or if we say the right words, or if we pray loud enough, then God will do a miracle. Because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, God's power is available and at work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is working against the forces of evil, of death, and of suffering. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus told his disciples this: "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." So we think, okay, I'll just ask God and he's obligated to do it. I'll just pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I claim this. And we expect God to do it. Is that a good thing? Should we? I want to go on and read this passage. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? There's kind of a focus on what Jesus is saying here in Luke. It's not a name it and claim it kind of thing, but it's a seek and a ask, and the God will give us his Holy Spirit to help us in whatever we face. One thing that we can be sure when we pray is that God will give us his Holy Spirit. We can count on that. And we can put ourselves into his hands and to trust him no matter what. There's a fourth lesson. Be willing to rest in the path that God gives us and learn to trust no matter what. God does not heal every situation. We don't know why. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes we have to go through our suffering in life. Jacob wrestled with God, and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that God never took away. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul wrote, So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. You would think that Paul would have his prayers answered. He used to just walk around and the handkerchief would fall and people would, you know, come up and touch him and they would be healed and he would raise people and many miracles were done by Paul. But yet God wasn't answering his prayer here. What was God's answer to him? He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly for my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with the weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In our suffering, God's grace is at work. When we are at our weakest, God is at his strongest. And so we must put our hands and trust into him. Number 5, there is power in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We can go to the Lord Jesus and pray in his name and ask for those miracles. And if they are in God's will, if they glorify God, if they have a purpose in our life, God will perform those miracles. Sometimes it may take a while, and we have to keep trusting. But if we don't ask, we don't receive. And so we must ask and seek and ask for those miracles. Number 6, miracles must lead to changed lives. Notice the result of this man's life in Acts chapter 3. Later on, if you go on through this chapter in Acts 3, verse 11, the man kept clinging to Peter and John. A bunch of people run to see what all this commotion is about. They recognize this man. They've seen him for years. And they begin to marvel at this miracle. Peter takes advantage of the situation. Now he has a captive audience. And you know what he begins to do? He preaches the gospel. This is an opportunity for changed lives. And so he preaches a second powerful sermon. The first one was on the day of Pentecost. Now he has a captive audience. And we go on into chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Okay? It's growing exponentially. The healing of this lame man led to the preaching of the gospel, and lives were changed. Many times, God performs miracles in our lives because it's an opportunity for people to hear the gospel. And so when there is a healing, when you do see God do something in your life, use it as an opportunity to share about who God is and what he's done for you. There is probably no more powerful testimony in the world than the healing that God can bring in your life. And that healing may not be something physical. It could be something emotional. It could be something about who you are. Maybe in an addiction that has troubled you. Whatever healing God brings in your life, use that as an opportunity to share the gospel. And people will take notice. And people will see what God is doing in your life. But there's another one, number seven. The seventh lesson, be ready for doubters. We go on into chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they all got together. And they saw what was happening. And so they had Peter and John arrested. And they had a trial that day. They put them on the spot. They lectured Peter and John, say, hey, don't do this anymore. You got to promise that you don't do this kind of stuff. You're making a commotion. We like things settled here. And they threatened them that day. Chapter 4, verse 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. Well, did that stop Peter and John? It didn't stop them. And they had more troubles later on, in fact. And they responded to this controversy and to doubters with boldness. There will be people around us who doubt a miracle in our life. They will explain it away, perhaps. They will raise all kinds of doubts and questions. Even it could be an obvious miracle. Even when Lazarus was raised, the people doubted what was happening. Even when Jesus himself rose from the dead, people doubted that and explained it away. And so be ready for those people who will scoff you and mock you because of the miracles that you claim that God has done in your life. Just remember that God loves you and wants the best for you. God wants to perform miracles and healing in your life. And be ready to seek him in those miracles and those healings.